All right, I want to read just a little bit to you tonight. And this is found over in the book of St. Mark. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Chapter 7, the book of St. Mark. Can we stand together? In the 20th verse, Jesus is talking to them here. And he said, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. He says, that which cometh out of the man, he said, this is that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries. He says, there comes forth fornication, murder, theft, covetousness. With all of these things, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, the evil eye, blasphemy, pride. He said, and these things defile a man. Foolishness comes out of the heart. Pride comes out of the heart. Fornication comes out of the heart. Theft, murder. He said, there is nothing without the man entering in that can defile the man. He says, but in the 20th verse, he said, for this that cometh out of the heart, it defileth the man. So then, you can be seated. So then, we see here that for from within a man's heart comes these things. There proceeds evil, adulterous, fornication, murder. Pride, he said, foolishness. All of these things defile a man. Now this makes me to know something. For from within the heart. For from within the heart. I think this is where men make such a great mistake today in trying to preach the gospel or people that try to live the gospel. Jesus said, for from within the heart. These evil thoughts of fornication, of adultery, of pride, of foolishness. He could have went on and said many other things because selfishness, hatred, all of these things, he enumerated many of them. They come from within a man's heart. And this is what defiles the man. See, the Bible tells us that we are the temples of God. We're the temples of the Holy Ghost. And the man that defileth the temple, the Bible said, he is the one that God will destroy. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. This is something we need to get acquainted with. You know, we think of God in the wrong way. God is a spirit. Until we can get acquainted with God, as to understand God to be a spirit, we're never going to make that divine contact with God. I made the statement last night that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Even though John was standing right here on this earth, yet he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Folks, we're right here, all together, standing on the earth. We're right here on the earth tonight. See, on this earth, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, when we come to the house of God, what we need to do is to get into the Spirit. We need to get into the Spirit. This is what's wrong with the churches. The churches don't get into the Spirit anymore. Or someone would say, Brother Pike, you just ought to come over to our church. While we sing and we clap our hands and we shout and we play the organ and we play the piano, but are you in the Spirit? Somebody says, well, we're in the Spirit, but I wonder what kind of Spirit you're in. You know, what kind of Spirit? Like the four boys I met the other day. These boys are fine boys. I met them in the Atlanta depot there. I was sitting there in the airport, and these boys came by, and all of a sudden they stopped, and they said, "We recognize you from your literature." And they wanted to get acquainted. These are some wonderful boys. These boys were on their way to Pennsylvania, going to have a concert. These boys say that they love the Lord. They've learned about the name of Jesus. And they're trying to move into the things of God. But they also feel that since they've left the world of rock and roll, as they feel that they've done, that now they're in the Lord, and they're in the Spirit, and they're playing gospel rock. They're playing gospel rock. See, and they're sincere. They're not playing around as to what they know. They're sincere. They believe that they are doing the right thing. They feel that they've come a long ways, that they've left that world out there. Now they're in the gospel. But see, folks, you can't do that with God. There is no such thing as gospel rock. That's foolishness. Out of the heart proceedeth foolishness. There's no such thing as getting in the church and somebody getting on the organ and rocking things up and calling that gospel rock. That's an abomination in the sight of God. That thing is horrible. Somebody says, "But Brother Pike, this is the way we're going to reach the world." Don't you believe that, Brother Pike? I believe this. I believe that people that are in their ignorance, like those boys, that God suffers them to go out there. They're just about half and half. And they've got one foot over here in what seems to be right and another foot over there in what seems to be wrong. And God uses them to catch the attention of those people out there and point them to this. Because they're ignorant, God can give them grace. And during that period of ignorance, God will use them. But let me tell you something, folks. You that know God and you know that know the things of God, don't you ever get the foolish idea that there's such thing as gospel rock and that we can mix darkness with light and that God approves that thing and that we should bring it into the church. God is just taking advantage of their ignorance. And God doesn't have to require so much of them. And they're like children that's running around with their tricycle. And you just kind of have to leave them alone and work with them until they can grow up, and then they realize how foolish that thing was and what an abomination it was in the sight of God. But in the meantime, somebody out there hears the name of Jesus. Like some of the preachers, they go from place to place and they preach what they call the gospel. Paul said they're not doing what they need to do. As it was said in the days of Jesus concerning the scribes and the Pharisees, said, "Don't do after their doings. Don't do after their doings, but do what they tell you to do." Said, because they sat in the seat of Moses. They've got the word of authority. A lot of ministers today, they're not really getting down to business and preaching the gospel in the sense of real holiness and living for God, but they are talking about the word. And Paul said, whether it be preached for contention or otherwise, fame, popularity, whatever their motives is, he said, "I herein rejoice because the gospel is being talked about or preached." So then, we've got to grow up, folks. We've got to learn to differentiate properly. We've got to separate darkness from light. And we've got to understand these things that's going on, like those four boys. I put out a hand to them to try to reach them, to try to love them. I can't make this too strong. The light is so bright that it will kill them. So you have to go easy with them. They're little babies. Little babies have to be cuddled. Little babies have to be taken care of. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes the mother has to clean the diaper of a little one. Sometimes the mother has to change the diaper because they're always making a mess, if you understand what I'm saying. See, it's up to you and I to work with them. They're just babies, and one day they'll quit that. They'll quit that. They'll learn how to take care of their own selves.
and they'll stop those foolish kind of things. See, as they grow up. But folks, if we're the kind of preacher, if we're the kind of people, if we who call ourselves the church don't ever tell them any better, don't ever train them, don't ever let them know any better, all down through life, they'll just be one big mess. They'll be like an afflicted person that's got a mental condition that never did mature. And they'll have to be taken care of as a grown-up all of their life. And they'll be out of one mess into another mess. All because the preacher didn't tell them the truth, and all because the church didn't lead them into the truth. So then we've got to get away from that. We've got to get away from this world of compromise. We've got to get away from this foolishness of all these things, thinking that we can include the television programs that's ungodly and non-virtuous, and the magazine that's non-virtuous, include these into our lifestyle. We've got to get away from that. We've got to get away from the ball games and the things of the world. We've got to get away from the frolics of the world. Those people that are out there in that, those people need a light. You don't have time to be going out there to those kind of things. You've got something to do for God. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, I just do these kind of things in my leisure. You don't have any leisure. You need to be meditating in the laws of God. And the Bible said day and night you need to be doing that. And it said you're to cast down imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That you should meditate in His laws day and night. You don't have time to do those other things. You understand what I'm saying? But preachers today, they've included that. They've brought all of those things into the church. Do you believe that God is going to approve of those things? Do you think God is going to let those things stay in the church? Don't you remember what Daniel said about the abomination that maketh desolate? Don't you know those things are abomination in the sight of God? And it'll make the church desolate of the Spirit of God. It'll drive the Spirit of God clear out of it. And after a while, you won't be able to get into the Spirit. The only Spirit you'll have is of the ball game. And the only Spirit you'll have is of the rock and roll party. And the only Spirit you'll have is of that program you've been watching on TV. And that story that you've been reading in the magazines. And the only Spirit you'll have is that Spirit that Satan has defiled on the inside. And God will destroy your temple. For the Bible teaches that we're to put away those ungodly things. Those things are not of God. The Bible said, out of the heart proceedeth these things, worldly desire, gullible desire. These are the things that defile a man. When you put those things into your heart, what have you got in your heart? Have you got the love of God in there? Do you believe that ball games is the love of God? Have you got the love of God in there? Isn't that the love of the world? Didn't God say if you have the love of the world, the love of the Father wasn't there? That you can't mix darkness with light? I've told it a number of times about the vision I had. I saw this in a vision. I went into a vision. And in this vision, I was walking along and I heard a great noise. This noise was loud. It was a great, mighty noise. And I said, oh my. I said, I hear people praising God. And there's a revival somewhere. And I want to be part of it. I went over there to get in the revival. I walked around and I saw a big stadium. Like a ball stadium. I said, they're having a great meeting here. I want to be part of it. I went into the stadium. I got near it and started into it. And they were praising God. And I said, my, what an outstanding thing. I've just got to be part of this. And when I looked, instead of having a revival, they were playing ball. They were having a ball game. And I thought, my God, what is this? I hear people praising God. And I hear people praying. And yet they're playing ball out there. And folks, you know what it was? They were praying for their favorite team. They were hollering for their favorite team. They were giving glory to God because their favorite team was winning the ball game. And I heard God say, this is an abomination in my sight. To take the blood of my son for such a foolish thing as the ball game. The blood of my son that I gave to atone for sin. And they're out there hollering over a foolish ball game. Oh, folks, can you imagine how God feels looking down at such a foolish people? The churches have instigated ball games. They've got their own ball team. That's an abomination in the sight of God. Any church that's got a ball game needs to get it out of the church. And the man that put it in there, you need to get him out of the church. Whether it's the deacon or whether it's the preacher or whether it's the overseer, whoever it is. Because that man's got the love of the world. Ball games is of the world. It's not of God. That's a thing of the world. Leave that to the children of the world. Leave that to Esau. Let them have their good times out there. Don't try to take their ball games away from them. Let them enjoy it, but you come out from the world. You be a separate people. And touch not the unclean thing, saith God. Oh my, you lose your congregation when you preach like this. You trample over the wheat, then the chaff flies up in the wind. The contrary winds of ideology and a rebellion blows it away. But folks, let me tell you, what I'm telling you is absolutely thus saith the Lord. And you're going to answer to God for it. You run them little boys through the ball game and you'll put them in hell. And someday, they'll gnash on you with their teeth. You tell me, Brother Pike's a preacher, I'm standing here. I'm not afraid of what I'm preaching. You stand up in the audience tonight if you're out there. Stand up like a man or woman and tell me that a ball game's of God. Stand up and do it. I challenge you to do it. If you can't do it, you need to listen, folks. Praise God, if I stand up here and say it's not of God and you ain't got enough backbone to stand up and say it is of God, you need to stay silent and listen to God. Listen to the word of the Lord. I thank you, folks. That's the right way to go. Hallelujah. What do? Like a good friend of mine out playing football, he broke his collarbone. A nice, fine, upright young man broke his collarbone. I've known them break their necks. They break their legs. They get killed. They waller in the mud like a bunch of hogs. People screaming, praying for their ball teams. When you see people go out from under the tent, when I'm preaching like this, you just put your eyes on those people. And it won't be long before their boys will be in a casket. It won't be long before they'll be in a wreck somewhere. Something bad will take place. And that rebellious mother or daddy will paper that with their lives and with sorrow. You don't play with God. I went out there. I heard that hollowing. God said, that's abomination. I turned away as fast as I could. I started walking down the street. And all of a sudden along the sidewalk there appeared a great long thing like an entombment. That thing appeared along the sidewalk. And it was like a long entombment, like a plane, a great huge plane. And the door opened in the side of it. And when the door opened, something just said, shoo, and pulled me right into it. And when it pulled me inside of it, the door closed. And I was entombed. And I looked and I said, oh my God, I got to get out of here. What is this? What is this? You know, like a claustrophobia. I said, I got to get out of here. What is this? I'm enclosed in this thing. I'm entombed in this thing. And while I stood there, I looked, and here come a creature just like this. Just as lifeless as it could be. Like a man, then a woman. And then there came one carrying a child like this. Like a zombie. And I looked, and it was so horrifying. I said, God, what is this? What is this? And I heard something say, this is the people at the ball game. I don't mean to scream at you, folks. This is the people at the ball game. I said, my God, you mean them people are like this? He said, they that live in pleasure are dead while they live. And some of them twice dead and plucked up by the root. Folks, when you get to your races, when you get to your ball game, when you get to your gospel rock, this is in the church. Daniel said, when you see the abomination that maketh desolate, then know that the end of the world is here. Listen to me, folks. When you bring those things into the church, that's the end of the church. You say, but we got a church, Brother Pike. We've got people. We've got gospel. We've got Christians. Are you listening? Folks, let me tell you something. You haven't got anything but. The Bible said a cage, not a church. A cage, not a church. A cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Unclean birds represent spirits. The Bible said, and she's no longer a church, since she become a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. The saints have been driven out. The gospel has been driven out. The way of God's been driven out. You're not in the spirit as John was on the Lord's day. You've got the love of the world. And the Bible said, if the love of the world is there, the love of the Father is not in you. For out of the heart proceedeth the love of the world. Out of the heart proceedeth fornication. This is why your preachers keep running off with their neighbor's wife. This is why it's uncovered that priest, as it was just a little bit ago, one or two priests, how that they defile the girls in the convents. And finally some of the girls got enough boldness to stand up and say, this is dirty, low down, rotten. And one of them said, I did it because they've defiled me and defiled my other girlfriends and was fixing to defile my little sister. The papers carried it, folks. That's why when you got a bunch of ball game players, you've got a bunch of pot smokers, when you got a bunch of money, mad preachers and deacons, when they say we're rich and have need of nothing, folks, and know not that they're wretched and blind and naked. When the Bible said they have a name that they live, but they're dead. Let me tell you something. I love you tonight, but I'm one that believes in telling the truth. Jesus said, for this cause came I into the world to bear witness of the truth, and said, because I tell you the truth, you hate me. Because the world loves its own. Let me tell you something. I love my brothers and sisters. I've been in the denominational world. I was an ordained preacher in there, in one of the finest churches that's in the world today. I stayed straight. There's not one mark that they have that I know of against me. I was ordained in it. I lived up to what I was supposed to, and along then you had to live up to something or you couldn't be a preacher. I believe in clean living. And there's a lot of good godly men that's in there. At that time, there was really a lot of good godly men. And a lot of good godly women. In those denominations, and when I say that, I'm not talking of one, I'm talking of all of them. Every last one of them. There are some of the most wonderful people in the world in there. And many of those people love God. They're not a bunch of bastard children. They're not a bunch of people that don't care for God. But I'm telling you something, folks. God has suffered many of them to be deceived to the extent that they wouldn't go on with God. They wouldn't listen to God. They wouldn't listen to the Word of God. They didn't have a love for the truth. And they're in there. They're in there. They're in those churches. You can't tell them anything. They're too stubborn. They've got their own ideas about it. They heap to themselves preachers. They're proud of their denomination. When they're on their way to hell, they're on their way to hell. Every person that won't have the gospel, every person that you see walk out from under a tent when the gospel's being preached, every person that you see go contrary to the preacher is cursed. Bible said, will ye not be afraid, seeing that he's the minister of God, and he's sent there to bless you or curse you. And whosoever sins he remits is remitted, and whosoever sins he retains shall be retained. And the Bible said, seeing that he's set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil, judgment beginning at the house of God, everyone that rejects the truth and has not a love for the truth, they are cursed children. Like Balaam, going after the world, doing the things of the world. They're the blame for the situation. They're the ones that's children of the devil. They're children of the devil. To be carnally minded is to be of the devil. To be carnally minded is death. Folks, let me tell you something. You can have carnal things in this world. Paul said, I've sown unto you spiritual, shall I not reap of you carnal? There's nothing wrong with you having carnal things. You might have cars, you might have homes, you might have the things of this life that are natural. God wants you to have them. I mentioned the other night the threefold blessing of God. God wants you to have the natural things of this world. He never would have created the world. He never would have given it to you. He never would have made the garden for Adam and put him in it if God hadn't wanted him to have it. God wanted him to have it. God wants you to have that natural blessing in this world of every natural thing that wealth can offer you. And God wants you to have a physical blessing. I would above all things that you prosper in your natural blessing. I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, which is your physical blessing. Even as your soul prospereth, which is your spiritual blessing. Your natural blessing so you can have the wealth of the world and the things of the world. For the blessing of God maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And then your health, that you might enjoy your natural blessings. But friend, you need the Holy Spirit that you might have eternal security concerning your health and your blessings. That eternal life might keep your blessings for you and keep your health for you. You understand what I'm saying? So then God wants you to have it. But there's one thing that caused Adam to be put out of the garden. It wasn't because he had the health. It wasn't because he had his natural blessings. It wasn't because he didn't have his spiritual blessings. He was overshadowed with his spiritual blessing, the spiritual Shekinah, glory of God. But he wasn't born of it. That's the difference between the first man Adam and the second man Adam. The second man Adam was born to the glory. You know, there's many people in the world today, they've got grace, but they've got grace by the blood of the Lord Jesus, which is on the seat of atonement, which is called a dispensational grace. That's for a time and that's for a season. That's a dispensational grace. That's for a time and that's for a season. But folks, we've got grace unto salvation. And the Bible said in the grace of God that unto salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching them that denying worldly lust, that they should live soberly and righteously in this present world. And as the Holy Spirit said, as it come upon John Baptist's father, Zechariah, when it came upon this great man, being a priest, he spoke up and said, and God has said, shall we not serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life? God is looking for a holy people. God is looking for a godly people. Folks, listen to me. Listen to me, and I say this to you that are under the tent. And not only under the tent, because this goes out by radio, sometime by television or wherever. See, listen to me, mothers and daddies, stop your foolishness. Stop murdering your children by giving them to the dogs, by throwing them out to the ball games and throwing them out to the races and trying to give them a career in this life. Stop murdering your children. You're going to stand before the great throne of God, the great judgment one day, as a murderer, as a liar, as a cheat, as a robber. You're robbing them of their soul. You're robbing them of their understanding. You're robbing them of their mind, to the extent that this generation is referred to as a sinful and an adulterous generation. And instead of doing something about it, you're getting in there and smoking pot with them. But you know what's going to happen? The Bible said the elders died in the wilderness. All of a sudden, you're grumbling and mumbling and going back out into the world. It's going to cause you to die in the wilderness. It's going to cause you to die in the wilderness. This may not take too good. If it don't, I guess I'll lose some more of my congregation. But I'm going to say it anyway. That's what it's all about anyway, is severing the just from the unjust. It's just like Elvis Presley. From what I understand, and I don't know too much about it, but he was brought up in a holiness church. Brought up in the Assembly of God, as far as I know. Went out into a world of rock and roll, of passions and dope, and whatever. And I understand that his mother, which was in the Assembly of God, that he pulled her out after him. And then when she got out there in the muck and she got out there in the mire, I understand that she lost her life. She died. Maybe went to hell. I don't know. But they said when Elvis Presley was found dead, that the thing had happened, he'd got a hold of a Bible. Rex Humbard had went over there to pray with him. He had got sick. Done got to be about 40 years old. And they found him sitting with a Bible. A little doubt in my heart. When he realized what he'd done, when he come to his senses, and he began to read that Bible, he realized that he had corrupted the entire world as one man. And I've said this before. It wasn't just in America. I was in Sweden. And in Sweden, that stuff that he did in him was just as popular as anywhere else. I'm not speaking against Elvis Presley. The Bible said preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't matter if it's them rock singers that I met a few days ago that recognized us there in the airport. Or it doesn't matter if it's Elvis Presley. Or as it happened to Ricky Nelson not too long ago. When they found him smoking pot. When he was killed. Folks, when Elvis saw the Bible, when he saw what had happened, you know, one of our brethren had a vision of him, and he reached out for life, and he reached out for a tract that we had written, and he was trying to get to God, but in the vision, according to what the brother said, he was cut off and couldn't get to it. Let me tell you something. You don't want to go to hell. If Elvis went to hell, if Ricky Nelson went to hell, and many of the others that died went to hell, like Patsy Cline and Hawkshaw Hawkins, and many of the others that was in that crash, when they said, Patsy, I believe it was singing that song, Life's Railway to Heaven, broke into tears because she'd had an experience with God, then got up in the plane, and it crashed. Folks, if those people went to hell, if they could look up from the bellies of hell tonight, they'd say like the rich man, don't come down here. Don't come into this place. I'm telling you, folks. Listen to me. You may go to prison and you can serve your time out. Even if you're in there till you die out of it. You may go to the electric chair and you may die out of it. You may get into many problems and you can still get out of it. But when you go down into the chambers of the fire, the Bible calls it eternal flames. When you get into the eternal flames, there ain't no release from that. There ain't no release. There ain't no starting over tomorrow. It may be 100 years, it may be 1,000,000 years, it may be billions of years. But whatever it would be, if there was any such thing as time and eternity, when you've been out of the presence of God for 1,000,000,000 years, you won't even be started. Billions upon billions. Think about that. No end to it. No starting over. No forgiveness. No chance. And folks, did you know in this very world right here, you can keep on doing things against God until you sear your conscience with a hot iron and you can get past feeling and you can blaspheme the Holy Ghost by your foolishness, by pressing against God, by running out when the gospel is being preached, by disgracing God, by getting God stirred up at you. The Bible said it's not the minister speaking but God speaking. Folks, if this was Brother Pike tonight, he wouldn't be up here. When I was Brother Pike, I was out yonder with my guitar hanging around my neck and I was singing and I was having what the world calls a good time. I'd already made some contacts with Hollywood and I had some things going. And I'd already got a song or two published and I did finally get to hear some of mine on the jukebox. And I was ready to go. I was just a real young fella. And the man said, Brother Pike, he didn't call me Brother Pike. He said, George, you got everything it takes. But folks, I learned better. By the grace of God, something got a hold of my heart and God struck me down. And God turned me around and God let me know that that wasn't the right way to go. And God turned me around. You don't want to go to hell, folks. You don't want to follow that route. You want to follow God? What's more exciting than living forever? Look at medical science. Millions and billions of dollars today. They're spending, brilliant men are spending their lives trying to perfect health and life and try to bring you fleshly security. But they can't do anything. In that day, there won't be any healing medicines. The devil is trying to perfect through his intellectual ability. He's trying to perfect life. He's trying to get his kingdom in this world to where he can keep people alive. He wants them to stay alive where they can rock and roll, where they can dope up, where he can raise a generation of bastard children that hate the name of Jesus. And the Bible said in that day they'll blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about being in the Spirit, folks. When the Spirit withdraws and the desolation comes, don't you know that to bring these things into the church that you're driving out the Almighty God? That you're driving out the Spirit of God? Don't you know that the Spirit of God dwells within your heart? And when you come into the house of God and your heart is full of TV and ball games and gullibleness of the world, that you can't be in the Spirit? Somebody said, well, that ain't got nothing to do with it, Brother Pike. I believe in God. God's cleansed my heart. The Bible said, be holy in body. Be holy in body. Know ye not that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost? The man that defileth it, him shall God destroy. God said, be holy in your body. In your body. Cast down your imagination. Bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And to present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Folks, when you bring ball games into the church, that is the abomination that Daniel spoke of that will make the church desolate of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God isn't going to stay there. There's no way to keep God's Spirit there. Do you believe that God's going down to a ball game with you? Oh, yes. Somebody said, I take him to all the ball games I go to. No, you don't take him to no ball games. I beg your pardon. You don't take God to no ball games. There ain't but one way God will go to a ball game. And that is somebody out there starts calling on the name of Jesus out of a sincere heart wanting to be saved. Jesus ate with the sinners and the publicans to try to get the gospel to them. And I know that we've got to be in and out among them people in this world today. But folks, God don't go to ball games. Ball games is not of God. Ball games is of the world. And the Bible said the world loves its own. All of these men you see on TV, ball players and all these things, those men don't have an experience with God. I'm going to say something you'll probably not like this. Some of you. But it's just like Jim Baker that come on TV not too long ago. Come out there in his shorts. Do you think God told him to do that? Do you think that's of God just because he's religious and spending millions of dollars to build some place for a worldly frolic? Do you think that's of God? It ain't been but just a year or so ago that God spoke to me and I wrote Jim Baker. Said something about me being on his program. I wrote him. Got a letter from him. And I told him, I said, Jim, let me tell you something. And I said, Tammy, let me tell you something. I said, you're having some nerve trouble, Tammy. You're worried about what it's about. I said, let me tell you what it's about. I said, it's about your sinful life and your ungodly doings. And not going on with God. I said, doing those ungodly things, bringing condemnation into your heart. And I said, Jim, the things that you're doing is abomination to God. I pointed it out to him. Are you listening? I told him he needed to do something. Did you know it wasn't but a short time after that? They had what they call Praise the Lord Club. But it wasn't long before they took the Praise the Lord out of it and they called it People Who Loved. And there was no more Praise the Lord to it. God had given him a warning. Before them, Jim was doing pretty good. There was a time when Jim and Tammy believed in holiness and was in the mission field doing something for God. But The writer spoke of losing your steadfastness in God and being turned away. Jim got his mind on money, popularity, fame. Tammy did the same thing. And they started trying to mix the world with Christianity. Don't mix, folks. The Bible said, he that saveth his life in this world shall lose his life in the world to come. And said, unless you hate this life for my sake, you'll lose your life with God. So then, what is it? Somebody says, well, I can see that about Jim Baker. He come out in the shorts. Do you think that's right in the sight of God? Folks, what need is it for me to preach to you that Jesus Christ in the midst of the candlesticks in the book of Revelation had his garment all the way down to his ankle and said, I am your example, follow in my steps. What good is it to preach to you these things? And then him get up on television doing like that. You let your wife run up and down the beach in a bathing suit. What kind of man are you? Folks, you don't deserve the title of a man. Come on, somebody said, bless God, I'll get you. They got Stevens. They stoned him to death. I said, you don't deserve the title of a man. To let your daughter and your wife, the dearest thing to God and your heart, run up and down the beach like a harlot. A sinful little adulterous generation. And the preacher's too weak-kneed and too weak in the backbone to stand up for God because he's afraid he'll lose his congregation and won't be a playboy and popular on TV. And God won't give him all of that money through those he's deceived. After dollars, after money. Hollered, I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. You ain't no preacher. You don't even deserve the title of a good human being, let alone a preacher. But let me tell you, folks, I don't want you to go to hell. Jesus don't want you to go to hell. He sent me to Louisiana because he don't want you to go to hell. You say, well, Brother Pike, don't you think God's going to stick the firebrand to these Louisianans? Don't you think he's going to set their fields on fire? God told me last night when I was talking to him, he said, I'm going to bless Iberia, Louisiana. Believe it or not, with all the trash, with all the dirt, with all the garbage that's here. He said, I'm going to bless Iberia, Louisiana, which means God must have some good people here somewhere. Somebody say hallelujah. And God said, I'm going to bless the state of Louisiana. Come on, folks. Why didn't he say the state of some other place? Or I'm just going to bless the states. He said the state of Louisiana. Why? Why? Somebody said, God, with the drunkards and harlots in Louisiana? And you're talking like that, I'll tell you one thing. The Bible said the drunkards and the harlots go into the kingdom before you religious people. Before all you people that's got your church is a name that you live and you're dead. Said because they said I'm not going, they repented and did go. But you said you was going and you turned to ball games and all the trash of the earth. And tried to make God swallow it down. Somebody say hallelujah. So then, out of the heart, proceeds evil thoughts, adultery, fornication. Do you think God's going to frown on Iberia? Do you think God's going to frown on Louisiana? Just because there's a few hard-headed people, rebellious people that don't want to hear the truth? Folks, you love God. I've had some people under here in the last two nights that love God, that came to this altar, that stood up for Christ, lifted their hands up and praised God when I preached the gospel. Hallelujah. When a minister goes into a city, if he's not received, then the Bible said he's to shake the dust off of his feet, have the witness and a testimony against them. And the Bible said in the day of the judgment, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that city. And folks, you might not know it, but you've got a man that practices that. You've got a man that's practicing that. You know what I do? I take my shoe and I get up close to something and I tap it as I leave the city. And I say, God, I shake off the very dust of the city as the witness and a testimony against these people because they don't want your son, Jesus. And when God tells me he's going to bless something, there's got to be something going on. I saw a little old lady today, precious little lady, about 83 years old, courageously walk out into the water and be baptized in the lovely name of our Savior for the remission of sin. 83 years old. Hallelujah. Folks, that means something. When you get that far down the trail, you got to do something in a hurry. How many of you agree with me? That shows that God's able to keep his own. Let's give God a hand. Hallelujah. Moses, 80 years old, but he wasn't too old to fast and pray for God. Isn't that right? No food, no water for 40 days. But he had that strength. And the Bible said his eyes had not waxed dim. The natural sources of his body wasn't abated. He was still like a young man. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you like to live forever? I'm going to say this. I've said it before. I want to say it again. Somebody said, Brother Pike, when you get so old, that's it. You just live to be so old, Brother Pike. You've got to be realistic, Brother Pike. Somebody says, this old body just wears out. 60, 70, 80 years old, some a little longer. Said it just wears out. Well, I've asked this question. If it just wears out, why didn't Enoch wear out? How did he slip over that 70, 80 to 300? Come on, folks. How did he do that? Don't you know that old body was wore out at 300? But if it was wore out, if that's the answer to it according to medical science, how did Methuselah just slip on over to about 900? Somebody said, my God, he got lucky. And the luck just passed on to Noah. Noah had done about 900 or more too. Hallelujah. And somebody says this old body won't last. It wears out. Where do you get that kind of philosophy? Folks, it takes God. They had God. That's what's wrong. You've left off with God. When you left off with God, you left off with life. And your life is getting shorter and shorter because you're taking on the world. Is it worth it? Which would you rather have, a good ball team or 900 years to live? Somebody tell me. Somebody said, well, I'm a jogging, Brother Pike. You know, old Brother Enoch didn't jog a lick. Come on, folks. Somebody said, well, I'm staying with them vitamins. Methuselah didn't know nothing about that. Come on, folks. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He said, bless God, there's one thing about it, Brother Pike. You'll never make 300. You'll never make 900. You can believe that because I'm counting on at least a few billion before I get started. Come on, folks, give him another hand. That's good. How many of you counting on a few billion? Glory to God, we pass from death unto life. And we're never coming into condemnation. And we're talking about eternal life and living forever. Jesus said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me is passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. Glory to God, makes me feel better all over. Hallelujah. And I said, my God, why are you hollering at us like that, Brother Pike? Well, I don't mean to do that. I just get excited. You know, the Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Does that sound loud enough? And show my people of their sins. Somebody said, well, you need to tell them sinners. But he didn't say that. He said, and show my people of their sins. Come on now, he said, his people. He said, for they take delight, in coming to church. And they take delight in approaching unto me, coming unto church, coming unto the preacher. He said, and as those that have not sinned and those that have not done wrong. He said, they act like everything's all right. But he said, preacher, I'll tell you what to do. Said, lift up your voice like a trumpet and tell them about their sins. Hallelujah. You know, I said the other night, oh, Brother David, he done wrong, didn't he? David become a murderer. He become an adulterer. He done wrong. Folks, you know he done wrong. God said he done wrong. But did you know he was still a prophet? How many of you know that? It doesn't say anything about him not being a prophet after that, did he? God laid the whip to him. God chastened him. Every son that cometh to God, he chastened him first. God made him pay for his wrongs and said, David, you're going to have war for the rest of your life. The sword's never going to depart from your house. You ain't never going to have peace with your enemies no more. That's what's wrong with some of you now. The Bible said, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way, lest at any time God should deliver thee to the judge, and the judge to the jailer, and the jailer would not turn thee loose and let thee come out until you have paid the uttermost farthing. Some of you done got a sentence. You done been before the judge. You done acted up. Isn't that right? You've acted up. You got yourself in trouble. You got some kind of sickness. You got some kind of problem. You got poverty. You can't get out of poverty no matter how much you work. You done got yourself a sentence. Mary Magdalene, was it? Done picked up 7 devils. Some folks don't believe in devils. Listen, stay away from that. When you start talking like that, bless God, I'm not going to listen at you. Talking about devils and spirits and them kind of thing. Well, it don't make any difference. You know, it's still there. You can say, I don't believe in the devil. And not realize that he's the one that said it all the time right through your lips. Oh, somebody said, now, Brother Pine. Peter said, nay, Lord, be it far from thee. Ain't nobody going to hurt thee. Jesus said, you devil, get away from me. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, would Jesus say that to somebody that was trying to help him and bless him? That devil wasn't trying to help him and bless him. That devil was trying to keep Brother Pike from having salvation. Jesus said, for this cause came I into the world. I'm going to Calvary. Don't come around here flattering me or saying good things about me or telling me I don't have to die. He said, this is the purpose I came for. He could have said, if I don't do this, Brother Pike won't be able to preach over there to them people in Louisiana. He won't have eternal life. There won't be nobody there. Won't be no need to preach to them because they won't have eternal life either. He said, get thee behind me, devil. I got a job to do. You see how subtle the devil is? You see how slick and cunning he is? Just them few little words. And somebody say, you say that's a devil, Brother Pike? Sure. A man walks up to the woman and he says, honey, I love you. And one devil says to another, I'm so glad. There's things we can do together. You love the Lord? Somebody said something to a woman about leaving her husband. I don't altogether agree with this. It's kind of odd. She said, well, I look at it like this. Said, this generation, you're just disdaining husbands. Said, I don't see any reason to leave a devil that I know for a devil that I don't know. You love the Lord? That's the way it is. When you start separating and remarrying, you're just leaving a devil. If that's the kind of thing he is, some folks got good husbands and good wives. So then I'm saying to you tonight, this thing is real. Devils live in human bodies. 7 devils were in Mary Magdalene. 7 devils was in that woman. Some of you got wives that got a whole lot more devils than that. Some of you got husbands that got more devils than that. A man in the tomb, Jesus running to him. And he said, what's your name? He said, Legion. Said, cause we're many. And on the side of the mountain was all of those hogs. My, at the hogs was over there. And Jesus started casting out the devils. That whole legion. And they went into them hogs and the whole herd of hogs was full of devils. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, they couldn't get in the beast. What do you think that man is that's got them in him? The Bible said they're beast and brute beasts made to be taken and burned. Wasn't that a beast that deceived Eve in the beginning? Don't you know that all of you that are not born of God is beasts? And I'm not going to try to make a long, drawn-out thing of this, but I just want to say a few things to you, and then I'm going to close. Just give me just a minute, will you? Wasn't that a beast? What happened to him when he deceived Eve? God put him on his belly. Now listen, you might not agree with this. God put him on his belly. Somebody says, uh-huh, Brother Pike, that's that old devil crawling around out there. That's why it said it bruised his head. You don't really believe that snake is the devil, do you? You don't really believe that. Said that he put him on his belly. He said, well, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, the Bible says that those that reject God, they are a crooked generation. A generation of serpents. God's put them on their belly. And the Bible said all of their labors for their belly because their belly craves it of them. Eating and drinking and working to feed their belly. That's all they do. All of their labor's for their belly. This don't sound right. Sounds a little comical. But I say it to kind of get into your level. What do? You work for your belly. So that you can buy some food to put in your belly. So that your belly can get the strength to go work to get some more money. To buy some more food to put in your belly. And to get some money to buy a house. So you can buy a bed. So you can lay down on it and rest your belly. So your belly can rest so you can get up in the morning and go eat some more and put some more in the belly. So that the belly can go to work and make some more money and get a little more understanding and education. So it can make a little more money and have a little more prestige. So it can buy the best for the belly. Are you listening? And you're like the old Indian death walk. In your mind, the devil who saves the things that be of the flesh has got you in a death walk, and you're walking in a death walk, and you can't find your way. You are in an intellectual wilderness, and all of your labor's for your belly because your belly craves it of you. And somebody says to the belly, let's go down to the ball game, and I'll give you some popcorn and pop. So the belly said, I'm in full agreement. So you go off to the ball game, and you're having the best kind of time, and you're hollering for your favorite ball team, and the belly says, what are you going to do about me? I need some more pop. We can't enjoy this thing if we don't eat some more. Are you listening? Esau sold his birthright for a morsel of bread. You know, this is why the Bible said over in the book of Revelation, said, John, I've got something for you. Said, this is a little book. I want you to eat this little book. John said, it's going to be sweet to your taste. The Bible said, taste of the Lord. He's sweet. Said, it's going to be sweet to your taste. But said, I'll tell you, John, that it's going to be bitter to your belly. It's going to be bitter to your belly. Your belly ain't going to like it. When you get the Word of God, the Word of God said, don't you want to fast 10 days? And the belly says, oh my God, I'm ruined. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Sounds a little comical, don't it? But you know every word of it is truth. Somebody said, well, I ain't like that. Well, why is your belly sticking out like that? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, well, you got him, didn't you? My belly ain't sticking out like that. I know it hadn't gotten the race yet. Give it a little more time. It's after it. It's after it. It'll get it after a while, and you'll be walking around the same way. Somebody said, boy, that's horrible. Well, I don't know how bad it is. You know, I say it like this. The man that's got plenty of food under his belt line, he feels better than you do if you can't afford a good steak. So it could be that God might be in the arrangement. The Bible said, and God makes fat. He makes fat the soul that serves him. He makes fat your bones if you serve him. So I'm not speaking against big people. You know, I could lose some weight myself. I'm not speaking against big people. You know, there's elephants. There's tigers. There's little kittens. God made them whatever he wanted them to be, isn't that right? Somebody said, well, bless God, people don't get that big. I don't know. Goliath was about 9 feet. He was a big fella. So then, what are you saying, Brother Pike? I'm saying that that generation of vipers, the serpent, is on his belly till today. And all of his labor is for his belly because his belly craves it of him. John said, you generation of vipers, it's on your belly. They came to be baptized. He said, you bring me forth some fruits of the Spirit as meats of repentance. Don't say unto yourself that you're religious and you've got a certain church. And God is with you. God's able to raise up from these stones people to praise God. You follow me? So tonight, where is that old serpent at? He's that old intellectual power out there that's laboring for the belly. That's enslaving men with education in the old tree of knowledge to keep them on their belly. But that little stone in the sling of faith that David had by the word of God, that little word of God in the sling of faith, it keeps striking at him. That big power and giant of opposition that's out there that's got the people under the ecclesiastical control to make them labor for the IRS and everything else. God's got their number, and it's 666. And one day God is going to take the word, that little stone that was hewed out of the mountain, and God's going to make an end to that problem. So until then, we'll just keep loading the sling. And we'll keep slinging it at that old head of the serpent. Keep slinging it. He'll strike at your heel or try to get to your soul. But folks, we can load this little slingshot of faith, and we can keep striking at his old hoary head till we beat it into the ground. You ever seen an eagle? An eagle will pick up a serpent and he'll beat his head on the rock till it's gone, till the blood runs. How do you love the Lord? Somebody say glory. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say I praise the Lord. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and give God another hand, can you, folks? Praise the Lord. You see this water? That man in hell said, give me just a little bit of that. Give me just a little bit of that. Folks, when you get in there, you don't get no more. I feel like that's why God put so much water in the world. When you get in there, you don't get any more. Wouldn't it be bad if all of you were down there and couldn't get to this jug of water and I was up here and could get to it? And it was real hot. Wouldn't that be bad? That wouldn't be so bad if you just had a little while to go like you've got. Would it? But what if you never could get to it? What if you never could get to it? Hallelujah. Isn't Jesus good? Amen. We could go on and go on preaching tonight, but I know that it's late. I know that it's Sunday night. I know you've got to go to work in the morning, and I know I'm running a little late coming in here tonight. But we can still talk about Jesus just a little bit longer. And then I'll let you go. Lift your hands up with me, will you? While they're coming to the stand for music. Think over the things I said. You say, Brother Pike, them's kind of hard. That's kind of hard preaching, Brother Pike. Maybe so. But folks, I got a feeling that when you stand before God and you have to give an account, the Bible said for every thought that you thought, every word you've ever said, every deed that you've ever done, all the things that you thought and said and done in secret, I got a feeling that this ain't hard preaching at all. I got a feeling when you stand there that you're going to say, my God, that was a mild preacher. Why didn't he really tell us more? Here we stand before the fiery indignation of God. The Bible said after that you've come to the knowledge of truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. For if you willfully sin after you come to the knowledge of sin, there is no atonement. There is no atonement. And folks, we're living in that dangerous day when the knowledge of the Lord is filling the earth, the heavens, the sea. It's on TV, it's under the tents, it's in the newspapers, it's in the magazines. And now it's hard to get around it. And the Bible said that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. That's why this generation has so much more sickness than the other generations. That's why they're having so much more sorrow. The Bible speaks of the beginning of sorrows. See, because they know more and they're not doing it. And they're trying to get by like the other generation. So that servant that knew not to do his Lord's will, that committed things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. He'll not get by. He should have applied himself. He'll at least get some stripes. Every son that cometh to me, I scourge him. And if you're without chastisement, then are you bastards. For the Bible said all sons and daughters are chastened. Someone would say, Brother Pike, why would God be so hard on me? Why would he require so much out of me? And he didn't the other generations. Think on it, folks. You know why? Because you got a greater benefit. To have a greater benefit, it requires a greater effort. You say, what do you mean a greater benefit? Benefit, Brother Pike. Because those other people went by the way of the grave. They went by the way of grave. If you're going to be careless, you're going to go by the way of the grave. But he said, let us go on unto perfection. To be ye therefore perfect, even thy Father in heaven is perfect. Let's go to the full reward. What greater benefit have we got than they? Because Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all be put in a casket. We shall not all die. There's a generation coming on now
that if they can get a hold of the revelation, they don't have to die. Paul said, a mystery that we should not all sleep. And though you required more, you can bypass the grave and never have to die. Just go right on into your eternal state of being. And as Paul said, be changed. So then you got a greater benefit because you've got a greater knowledge. You can have a greater faith. And Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. So then, those that had to go by the way of the grave didn't know as much. It wasn't as much required. To whom much is given, much is required. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is a sin. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. To whom I've committed much, I'll require the more. So we've been given much. God will require the more. You love Jesus? While we sing tonight, while we think about the Lord, while we stay in the Spirit, wouldn't it be wonderful if all of you come fasting and praying and loving the Lord and come in full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the power of God, your mind's right on Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be wonderful? To be in the Spirit, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit as John was on the Lord's day. So that God could move among us. So the atmosphere would be right. Preaching the gospel. The wonderful gospel of the lovely Son of God. Preaching the gospel. I'm not talking about having church. I'm not talking about just coming to church. Folks, I'm talking about preaching the gospel. The Bible said, go ye into all the world. And my wife and I are trying to do this. And it said, go there and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. The Japanese, the German, the Indian, every creature. Preach the gospel. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Isn't that what you'd like to do? Wouldn't you like to preach the gospel to every creature? Wouldn't you like to do that? Wouldn't you like to testify of Jesus to all the world? That's what we're doing. That's why these men have these cameras here. One sermon here, you hear it. Other people hear it on TV. Other people hear it on the radio. But let me tell you something. The Bible said they that reject this shall receive to themselves everlasting damnation. Jesus said to a people, he said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Remember the preacher? I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus looked at them people, and this is what he said. This is the way he preached. You think I preach hard? He said, you generation of vipers. He said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? He said, doing the things that you do when I told you not to do it. And the Bible said he was grieved in his heart because of the hardness of the heart, because the Bible said many of them left him and would not walk with him. Even the 70 said, this is a hard saying. We can't receive it. Jesus said to the others, will ye also go away? Folks, let me tell you, there's beasts in this world. They're not sons of God. They're beasts. They might be as religious as Cain. And some of them are brute beasts. The Bible said made to be taken and burned. And they're not going to agree with me, and they're not going to agree with you. Jesus said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he said, Father, I've not lost to one of them except the son of perdition. Before he was ever born, it was said, let another, his bishop would take. He went to his place. He hanged himself. He wept. He sought repentance, but it was too late. He crossed the deadline. He sought repentance with bitter tears, but found no place of repentance. The world has just about gotten to the condition to where it will not receive repentance. When you willfully sin, there is no more sacrifice or atonement for sin. There would have to be another Jesus crucified. Because you're crucifying him afresh and putting him to an open shame. When you come to the knowledge of the truth, God is not obligated to say anything else to you. You can find yourself leaving this tent or leaving the gospel, the word of God that the minister preaches to you, that God sent to you to free you and to set you at liberty. You can find yourself walking out from under that voice. The Bible said in the Old Testament that they were put to death. Stoned to death because they rejected that voice through Moses that spoke in the earth. How much sore punishment will the people be thought worthy of in this generation that's refused the voice that speaks from heaven and trample underfoot the blood of the Son of God? Then it's not you speaking, but the preacher speaking with the lips of God. Not as a human being, not as you speak, but the preacher, the voice of God. It is God speaking from within him, speaking to you. Not as you speak, as educational dignitaries and powers of this world and authorities of this world. Not you, but it's the preacher. It's God's mouthpiece. And it's not really the preacher. It's God speaking from within his temple. Let all the world keep silent because God is within his temple. But it is the preacher to the extent that he can bless a curse, retain or remit. Will you not be afraid for conscience sake? So then, folks, let me tell you, you can walk out from under this tent. You can leave this gospel. And you say, well, praise God, I don't believe that. I think I'm all right. I'll remain in my church. I'll do my thing. I don't feel bad about it at all. You know why? Because you rejected the truth. And the Bible said because you had not a love for the truth, God has turned you over to a reprobate mind, sent you strong delusions, caused you to believe a lie that you might be damned. And the Bible said when Moses said, Pharaoh, we want to get out of here, God hardened Pharaoh's heart so he could destroy Pharaoh. But he gives more grace to the humble. When you're submissive and you take heed how that you hear, and you give the more earnest heed to what you've heard, and you say, now God, I'm not going to be a fool. I don't care what that preacher said. If it's the truth, I'm going to receive it. I'm not going to let my little old puny mind, like a computer out of control, steal my soul and wreck my life just because I resent the preacher. Just because I don't like what he said. Just because he don't belong to my church. If he spoke the truth, he must be of God. For the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak his word. And if that preacher told me that, and I know that that's the truth, and something bears witness to my spirit, that he's telling me the truth, I'm not going to be contrary to him. I'm not going to go contrary to him. I'm not going to get out here and get myself killed in a wreck and go to hell. I'm not going to have the wrath of God come on me and have to live in poverty all the days of my life, or have cancer, or have something bad to happen to me for rejecting the truth. I'm going to walk in the light as he's in the light. And I'm going to walk in that light, and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ under the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Folks, let me tell you, when you hear the truth, I don't care who tells you the truth. You believe it. If it's Brother Pike, you believe it. If it's the priest on the other side of the hill, you believe it. If it's the pastor over the Assembly of God, you believe it. If it's the man down at the UPC, you believe it. If it's the man out here that's digging a ditch, or the garbage man, if he tells you the truth, you believe it. And if it ain't God's word, and if it ain't God's truth, you leave it alone. It don't matter if it's preacher, priest, or whatever it is. And when he speaks the truth to you, you believe it. Jesus said, do what them people say. They said in the seat of Moses, but don't you do like them, because they live like the devil, he could have said. They love the uppermost seats at the synagogue. They love to be called a men rabbi. They like the greetings in the marketplace. Good morning, Reverend. But even when the devil quoted the scripture, even when the devil quoted the scripture, Paul said, whether contention or otherwise, it's the gospel. Jesus didn't deny it. When the devil said, cast yourself down from here, for it is written that he will give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up in all thy ways, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus never altered that, because that was the word of God. That's the way it's written. Even though the devil said it. But one thing he did say, he said, Satan, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That is, Satan, you took it out of context and you want to kill with it when it was meant to give life. My words are spirit and life. Folks, find the motive behind it. Find the motive behind it and stay away from that, because people use scripture to wreck your lives. But if you find the scripture and you find the right motive
and demands after your soul in trying to help you and lead you to repentance and bring you a more wholesome life in God. Don't you reject it. Don't you reject it. You listen to it. All right, we're going to sing. Some preachers go into a town. The people would be better off if they never come there. They set up a tent. They take $30,000 in a few nights. Some $60,000. Because they go there for that purpose, to pull, to get money, to make the people afraid. They leave them penniless. Promise them all kind of blessings, with the only one that's getting blessed is the preacher by taking their money. Transforming themselves into ministers of the word, which is called light. And the people giving everything they got to them because they didn't have a love for the truth and support the right thing and feeding the hungry to start with. It'd been better off if they'd never come. But folks, if God really comes to your area, if God really comes to your house, you be sure that you're sure that you're sure that you receive Him and do the right thing, whatever you do. All right. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Sing it with me. Oh, how I love Jesus. All because that He first love me. Can you sing with me? To me He is so wonderful. To me He is so wonderful. To me He is so wonderful. Because He first love me. Sing one more time. And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And oh, how I love Jesus. All because that He first love me. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at Your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me like this now. For we have anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need Thee, Lord. Every hour I need Thee. I need Thee now, precious Jesus. Oh, how I, can you sing it with me? Need Thee. Sing it like this now. So don't turn Him away. don't turn him away, for he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. Can you sing it with me? Or oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, come to the Savior and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. Don't you love Jesus? Hallelujah. Tonight, Jesus wants you. He sent for you. He sent for you. And the Bible said there was a great supper that was prepared, a wedding supper. And he said to his servant, Brother Pike, go out into the highways and hedges, son, and tell them to come in. I've got a supper. I'm going to have a great wedding. Go out and beckon them to come to my supper. And so here I am. Folks, you've got an invitation tonight. It's like a song we wrote one time that's called The Invitation to the Wedding Supper. You've got an invitation tonight. Jesus is giving you an invitation. He personally sent me over to tell you that he loved you. And he's got a supper. And he'd like for you to come to the supper tonight. Said, go tell him everything is all ready. And I want him to come to the supper. You love him? You love him? Hallelujah. Lift up your hands if you love him. Tell him that you love him. Praise is comely for the upright. Tell him that you love him. What a wonderful thought. Let's sing the song we sang last night. The hill far away, there stood an old rugged cross. It's the emblem of suffering and shame. It was there on that cross that Jesus suffered and he bled, just to pardon and to sanctify me. And I'll cherish, can you sing it? That old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. And I'll cling to that old rugged cross. I'll exchange it someday for a crown. And I'll cling to that old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I'll cling to that old rugged cross, and I'll exchange it someday for a crown. While we sing this little chorus together now, I'm going to give you a chance to come to the altar. We sing this little chorus, come into my heart. Jesus, come into my heart. Can you sing it with me? Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come into my heart. Lord Jesus, just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Jesus wants an open heart. In the book of Solomon, it said he stood at the door and knocked. I stand at the heart's door and I knock. And whoever will open unto me, I will come in and I will sup with him. I will come in and I will sup with him. Folks, he that winneth souls is wise. And the Bible said if you win one soul to God, the angels in heaven rejoice. And there's a jubilee in heaven when one soul comes to God. One soul coming to God. And there is a jubilee in heaven. Don't you love him tonight? Don't you care for him tonight? God loves you tonight. He loves you. He died for you. We say he spilled his blood. He didn't really spill his blood. That's kind of an accidental thing. He gave his blood very freely that you might have eternal life. Because he wanted you to have eternal life. He gave his blood. He gave it for you. Freely he gave it. The Bible said freely you have received. Freely give. Will you give your life a living sacrifice for God? Will you deny yourself of the things of the world and take what God has blessed you with and go out into the highways and hedges? Compel them to come in and do something for God. Will you go into world evangelism to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature? Will you give your life? What's more beautiful than serving God? What's more rewarding than serving God? The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. For my blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. And ye shall be like a tree that's planted by the water, and ye shall bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. For the Bible said the day spring from on high hath visited his people, and they that sit in the regions of the shadows of death, great light he sprang up unto them. And now the light is in the world. And he said, this is the condemnation that has come into the world, that you love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil. Folks, we're accountable today. We are accountable today. God holds us accountable today. He holds us accountable today. Do you love Jesus? Let's sing this chorus together. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's that glory that is changed. Changing me. Can you sing it with me? Oh yes, it's changing me. Oh, it's changing me. Oh, it's changing me. It's changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Let's sing this chorus together. Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Can you sing with me? Oh, let thy will be done. Create in dust
The mind of Christ, the Father and the Son, for it's in thy shining glory that we see that Holy One. Our hope is to be like Him, so let Thy will be done. Let's sing this little chorus together now. You love Him? Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Sing it with me. Every promise in the book, it is thine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. All right, we're going to sing this little chorus together. While we sing this little chorus, I want you to come up tonight. If you need anything from God, I want you to come up here tonight. Let's sing that song we sang last night, Give Me That Old Time Religion. 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 It's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for my mother and my father. It was good for my mother and my father. It was good for my mother and my father. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Somebody say hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Can you clap your hands for Jesus? Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. I want you to lift your hands with me now. You know, God is doing something in our day, something like He's never done before. I appreciate you coming out tonight. But tonight, we're here to worship the Lord. Now, I haven't felt you very spiritual tonight. I don't know, maybe you've been to the cafes. Maybe this has been your special day today, to be out to the cafe and eat and drink. Maybe you're tired.
Maybe you spent your day for the flesh. Maybe you didn't talk to the Lord Jesus very much today. I don't feel you very spiritual. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. But you was a good audience. It was a reverent audience. You listened to what I had to say. Some of them left, a few of them, two or three of them. I always have that. In every service you have that. The devil does that to try to discourage the preacher and discourage the people. That doesn't bother me. I feel sorry for them because in every case that I've ever heard up as a follower-up, they always got into bad trouble. Something happened to them. Sometimes they lose their lives. But you've been a good audience. You've listened. You've listened. This is Sunday night. And I felt God here. No problem to preach to you. Even though the last meeting we closed out on Sunday night, the Spirit was high. Real high. We closed out on that night. And we had a prayer line praying for the sick. And God was really moving. Even prophecy was coming through. The people got in the Spirit. But as I said, I couldn't ask for a more reverent audience for the three nights we've ministered here. Fine and reverent. And we appreciate that. So tonight, while we're standing here together, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift up your hands. And I want to ask you tonight, you know, healing is important. Because if some people doesn't get healed, they die. They die. It's needful. Even though they have medical profession, they still die. The Bible speaks of Asa, King Asa. And it said God smote him in his feet because he'd done wrong. And because he sought not God to find out the problem so that God could move it, but rather sought after the physicians, he died. Hundreds and thousands of people in the world today are dying because they seek after physicians. I know that you don't know that, but I used to work, drive an ambulance and whatever. And there are times when the man comes in and he takes the patients out the back door. They just put a sheet over the face of them, roll them down the hall. And you never know. You think they're going to the operating room. But they're going to the morgue. They're going to the cemetery. I've been there when they did it. We'd have to go get people. But so far as you're concerned, people go to the hospital and they all come out the front door. And everything's all right. You know that some pass away, but not as many as you think. Or more than you think, I beg your pardon. Not in the way that you think. Because sometimes it's just your loved ones, and that's all you know about. And you don't know too much about other people's loved ones. Not too many people read the obituaries. But folks are dying. Hundreds and millions of people are dying. And I mean they're dying like flies. They're dying every day. With all of the medical aid. The Bible said in that day there shall be no healing medicines. Because they're leaving off with God, the medicines won't heal anymore. Because they're leaving off with God, doctors are like butchers. And people are dying. And they're butchering people. You go in today, you got legs. You come out the next day, you don't have any legs. You don't have any arms. They butcher. They rip you open. They take your entrails out. They cut parts off that don't need to be cut off. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? I mean they literally butcher you. They butcher you. They take you apart like an animal. They cut you into pieces. And they're butchering people. Not because they need it. Many of them don't need it. You might say, you can't prove that, Brother Pike. I talked to the doctor that operated on Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, that operated. He said, I've done many operations in my life. But he said, I'll tell you one thing. He said, if I had it to go over, I wouldn't do it. He said, I didn't realize how bad it was until somebody stuck a knife in me and began to cut on me. They cut off parts that should stay there, but for money. They get great sums of money for that. So a lot of times they recommend an operation when you don't need an operation. Like a friend of mine, he lost his leg a few months ago. He's a preacher. When he went back for the same thing, he called to us. We were over in another state. And I prayed to God earnestly. And I said, "My God, Betty, he just can't afford to lose that leg. We've got to pray." And we prayed, and God saved the leg. And he told me a few days ago, he came to visit with me. He said, "Brother Pike, what I don't understand." He said, "I lost my leg." And so the doctors tell me that that leg wasn't in as bad a shape as this leg that was saved. Said this leg was in worse a shape. But God saved it. God saved it. You love the Lord? Folks, think it over. No healing medicines in that day. God is the healer. God is the Savior. I don't have anything to say against you doing something for yourself. Wash your feet, brush your teeth, make a living. The sick need a physician, pour in the oil and wine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Whatever you can do for yourself, that's fine. Well, let me tell you, don't lean on the arm of flesh. Don't go down to Egypt for your help. The Bible said you'll be cursed if you do. Trust in the Lord Jesus and believe in Him with all your heart. Keep on trusting. When it looks like it won't work, you've done all you can to stand. Stand anyway. Keep believing in Him. Keep trusting in Him. God will get there. God will come. God will help you. Keep holding on. Keep holding on. He'll come. Keep believing in God. Keep praying. Keep seeking God. If you can do anything to help yourself, help yourself. But folks, put your faith in God. Put your faith in God. Lift your hands up with me tonight. May God bless you tonight. May God help you tonight. God is going to bless you. God is going to help you. He wants to help you. It's God's desire to help you. And He's going to do it. He's already doing something. Here in New Iberia, He's breaking the yoke. He's breaking the yoke. God is doing it. I want you to lift your hands up. I saw something great and mighty take place today. And I still see it taking place tonight. Some things was just quickened to me then. Some things are taking place tonight. As we go to pray with you, I want to pray that God will bless you physically, naturally, spiritually, in every way, you and your family. I want to pray with you. I want you to pray and I want you to believe with me. Let's close our eyes. Let's lift our hands up. Let's call on Him tonight. Can we do that? Can we call on Him tonight? Father God of heaven, as I stand here before these people tonight, I'm asking in prayer that Your great hand would come down upon these people. And I'm asking that the Spirit of God would be here tonight. May the mighty power of God be here tonight. And God, may yokes be broken tonight. Father, may You hear from heaven tonight. And God, bless these people tonight. May Your Spirit be here tonight, God, to break the yoke and take away that binding tonight throughout New Iberia and throughout Louisiana tonight. God, heal tonight. God, save tonight. God, break the yoke tonight and give these people the blessing that they need tonight. I ask You to move over their bodies tonight, over their spirits tonight. And dear God, to give them the blessing that they're yearning for tonight. Father, bless them and bless their children. Oh, God of heaven, look down tonight and bring the desired blessing that they need. May their faith stretch out tonight. And may they start believing God like they never have. God, may they call upon Your name and start believing like they never have, God. May Your Spirit, oh God, come into their lives and into their hearts. May Your Spirit tonight, God, do something extra for them. Oh God, do it tonight in the name of Jesus. Move over them with Your power tonight. Move over them with Your Spirit tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I ask You to do it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing this chorus together, can we? Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming to carry me home was a band of angels coming after me. Coming
to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low,